Hi, I'm Dave Wolfert, and you're listening to Driving the Future, the official podcast from Continental Express. Each month, I get joined by fellow drivers, operations staff, shop personnel, and we get to share stories and tips on all things about truck driving. I'm Dave. I'm here with Dan Klayman, and he is one of our owner-operators, a long-term driver with the company. Started out driving a company truck and transitioned into owner operating, and that is what we're going to focus on today, just the difference between the two and the transition. We'll kick it off. Dan, how long have you been with Continental?
Oh boy, total, I started in November of 2006. I quit for about a month and a half or so in 2019 and came back. You know, I should have never left. You know, I don't know why I left.
I was going to say, after 13 years, wow.
Yeah, you think, you know. But anyways, I came back, and I don't have any intentions of leaving, you know, ever again until I retire.
So, me either. No. Okay, very good. Yeah, so we've both been long-term drivers. Now, the difference is I've always just been a company driver. You started out as a company driver, and then at some point said, hey, I want to be an owner-operator, and you made that happen. Can you kind of give us bullet point of the process of that, how you came to that?
Oh, it's been kind of off and on for a long, long time. You know, you think about it, put it on the back burner, mm-hmm. think about it some more, and I just like getting in on Thursday nights. I take off on Saturdays, get in on Thursday nights, and by the time Thursday night comes around, I just want to be done with it. I want to go home.
Yeah.
But it got to the point where I just, you know, you get to a stage in your life where I wanted just a little bit more out of it.
Okay.
And I wanted to have a new challenge, and it just, you know, my fiance, she encouraged me to just take the plunge and just do it. You know, you'll never be happy unless you just do it.
Yeah, okay. So, now that being said, how long have you been an owner operator compared to, like, how long were you with us as a company driver, and how long have you been with us as an owner operator?
From 2006 up until the very last day of December of 2021. January 1st was the very first day and the first trip out of 22.
Oh, okay.
As an owner operator. Wow. My sister encouraged me, you know, to wait until January to start officially as an owner operator. She does my taxes for me. She pointed out it's much better doing it that way.
If you do this on December 31st, I got a lot more work to do.
Right. Yeah. And it just works so much better just starting off just with a clean slate, you know, brand new year and everything.
Yeah.
So, but I bought the truck in October of 21, and you know, it was just it was a bit of a process getting to the truck, because I thought about buying a brand new truck, but you know, I was told that first year or first time truck buyer would probably pay upwards of 10% interest rate on it. I just like, ooh, I didn't want to do that.
And
you know, the cost of a brand new truck is just so up there.
But what are they running for brand new trucks? Like,
oh,
out of
boy,
a dealership?
Brand new trucks. What they was quoting me, I was looking at getting a brand new Mac, and it was a price tag of about 160. Yeah, that's
a house.
Hurt. Yeah.
Wow.
But the thing of it was, is because COVID was, you know, still lingering, you know, the lingering effects of COVID, and the production of parts and trucks and things like that
really slowed way.
It slowed things down. It put a monkey wrench into the whole truck buying process. Mm-hmm. It was one of those things where I had to come up and drop $10,000 non-refundable deposit on the truck. And it'd be probably about a year or so before I would get the truck.
Oh, wow. So going to a dealership and buying it out.
Oh, yeah. I just couldn't buy a truck.
It just wasn't
I could not
happen.
Buy a brand new truck and walk on a dealership and just walk off the lot with a brand new truck financed or anything.
Wow.
It was just,
you were going to walk
really
on a
bizarre
dealership, drop a bunch of money, they'd make you a bunch of promises, and we'll see you next year.
Right.
Wow. So you decided, well, did you just say, talk to Russ and say, hey, I want to buy a truck?
Oh, I talked to Doug more than anything.
Oh, you know? Okay. So you were able to go through Doug. Doug
yeah.
is our shop manager
yeah.
here, Doug Subder, at the Sydney Terminal. So,
and I talked to him about it, and I'm of the impression that, well, if I didn't drive the truck myself, I probably wouldn't want to buy it.
Okay.
Because I thought if I was going to buy a truck from Continental, it would be my, you know, something that I drove and I knew all the ins and outs.
Yeah, something you were familiar with.
Familiar with, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And, well, I just like, nah, I like the Freightliners. They're okay and everything like that, but I wanted something different. So I wanted a Kenworth, but, you know, I just didn't get that. I ended up getting a Mack.
Okay. So you did get the Mack.
Yeah.
And then you got it through Doug.
No, I got it from, I bought it out on my own. I bought it from a place down in London, Ohio, just outside of Columbus.
Okay.
You know, went down there and just drove past one day. I was like, yeah, I see that truck right there. Just pull off and take a look at it. So took a look at it, and the salesman wasn't around, but I left my name and number and everything like that. He got back with me, and okay, you know, he told me how much it was and stuff like that. Can I come by sometime next week and, you know, check it out some more? And I took it out for a test drive, and it's just like, yep, that's it, this is my truck.
Okay. So you didn't have to put a bunch of money down and wait a year?
I mean,
but you didn't have to do a year wait and all that? Like,
no, nothing like that. I put money down, and I came back the following week and bought it.
You know, okay, so it was a pretty smooth,
it was pretty swift, pretty, yeah, swift. Pretty quick.
Okay.
But, you know, that was the beginning of just a long process of dealing with other stuff. You know, there's other things like the IRP, you know, International Registration Plan, you know, the cab card that you have in your registration.
Yeah,
book.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the process right there. You got to fill out an application, and it's got to be approved, and it takes a while to get through all that.
Okay. So now you were driving for Continental as a driver, mm-hmm. And now you bought your own truck.
And I bought my own truck, yeah.
And now you're still under Continental's authority. You still
right.
drive for Continental,
right.
But you own the truck.
I own the truck, yeah.
So do you have a dispatcher, or do you find...
John Ziegenbusch, yeah.
Okay, so they're still finding loads for you now.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
You went from just mileage, getting paid so much per mile, to getting paid...
Percentage. Right.
Which do you prefer? Which
percentage.
Did, is it much more lucrative? Well, of course, since you own the truck, you've got more overhead.
With an owner-operator, it works opposite for, as opposed to company drivers. Company drivers, it's all about that big miles, you know, making all those miles and everything like that. For an owner-operator, it's all about the short stuff.
Shorter hauls?
The shorter hauls are the better ones. Shipping to receiving, you know, if you shorter the distance, the better off it is.
Oh, okay. Now, why is that?
It's just time, you know, more time involved in and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, you got, if you pay more to get them to come over there to get that load, plus at the deadhead, you got to factor in all the deadhead. You know, deadhead, I don't get paid anything. I'm burning my own fuel.
Yeah, you're burning your own fuel. Yeah.
So you got to figure in how much you got a deadhead around to get to the short loads and stuff like that. Plus, I mean, he's got to drop trailers and stuff like that at these short, you know, places that have short freight. So, yeah, I mean, he's going to charge a little bit more for the short hauls.
Okay.
You know, the rates are a little higher on the short hauls.
Okay. So you had talked about getting a cab card. So now do you have to get all the permits and all the fees all the registrations?
Yeah, that's all in that cab card.
Okay,
yeah.
So you got to pay for that. Now, that's not like with me, the company. I get a permit book. It's all in there. They
update
it. But as an owner operator, you are responsible for all that.
I am responsible for all that. Yep.
Okay. Is that it? And you said it's a lengthy process. Is it a huge cost to do all that? Is it?
Yeah. It's prorated, depending on when you start in the year. It just depends on what they bill you, what they're going to charge you at the IRP.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in March, that's when my renewal is up. So every March, I have to renew that
you know,
for the entire year. Leslie, you know, the office, the lady in the office here that takes care of my mileages and stuff like that, she processes all my settlements, I think.
Okay.
But she'll give me a breakdown of all the mileages from state to state. You know, that's another one of the things that, you know, Continental does do. They'll keep track of all the mileages from one state to the other.
Oh, okay. Now, so, why do they, does that make a difference for an owner-operator?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's something I don't have to keep track of.
But why do they keep track?
Why do they? For the road taxes.
Fuel taxes?
Yeah, the road taxes.
So if you're an owner-operator, like, you're going to pay so much road tax for Ohio, but you go to Indiana,
right.
You could pay more or less. It could be a different percentage.
It all depends on how many miles you run in the states and everything like that. And it gets adjusted on a quarterly basis. I pay for, you know, every drop of fuel I put in my truck, obviously. But out of what I buy on the road, I pay road taxes. at the pump though too. And at the end of every quarter, whatever, there's a deficit that's not paid to either the, you know, one state or the other, you know, it's all adjusted on a quarterly basis. If I don't pay enough at the pump, then at the end of the quarter, I have to put the bill.
Okay, so it's kind
of, it gets taken automatically out of the settlement on a quarterly basis for that.
Oh, okay, so it's kind of like taxes. If you pay too much taxes in federal through the year, you get a refund.
Right.
But if you don't pay enough, then you got, oh, hey, you're the IRS.
Right.
It's kind of, and that's done on a quarterly basis.
On a quarterly basis.
So four times a year, you've got to even up that.
Yeah, you got to come, you know, you got to take care of that on a quarterly basis.
So. Okay, do you have you had mentioned at one point a fuel surcharge or
right.
maintenance. What exactly does that mean? What I know what happens to me when I go to the truck stop and I fuel.
Right.
But the company's paying for it, so I get a receipt and drive away, no big deal.
Right.
What's a fuel surcharge? How does that work for an owner-operator?
Fuel surcharge is what Continental bills the customer. It varies as far as per mile. I don't know how much one shipper will pay more fuel surcharge compared to another shipper. I've noticed that. I can't tell you right off the bat what this one pays compared to what that one pays, but I do know it fluctuates up and down on a weekly basis. I mean, I can look at the same load, the same shipper, week after week after week, and the fuel surcharge will go up and down. It's all tied to the fuel prices.
Okay. So basically, are they covering the cost of the fuel when you get paid for the load? Is that covering your fuel cost?
I still have to put some of the fuel out of my pocket outside of the fuel surcharge. I get most of it back, but not quite all of it.
Not all. Okay.
You know, I get 90% of the surcharge what they bill the customer.
Okay.
That's how that works. They keep 10% to cover the cost of reefer. You know, the reefer.
Yeah, fuel. You got reefer fuel.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But I know I don't recover all of it in the surcharge.
So they pay so much per mile or per gallon to do this load, and the shipper receiver pays it at the settlement.
They pay it however they pay it. I don't know, you know, all the ins and outs of how they bill the customers and the contracts and everything that. What they got set up with different shippers, but some pay more, some pay less. I guess it just all depends on the shipper.
Okay, and so I know every week with Continental being a company driver, I get a paycheck.
Right.
You still get just get a paycheck?
Get the same thing. I still get the same settlements and stuff like that, you know, as we always did and things like that. I don't have like any kind of benefits or anything like that, like insurance deductions or nothing like that. I have no, you know, there's no deductions other than I get a satellite rental fee every week. And if I bought fuel here, or if I bought fuel on the road and used the Comdata card, then that would be deducted out of my settlement.
Okay.
But I pay for my own fuel with my own fuel card. You know, I just, you know, they don't have to reimburse me for any of the fuel or nothing like that. But, you know.
And you said you don't have benefits or so medical, dental, vision?
None of that.
Can you get that through Continental being an owner-operator,
or
do you have to go through like an independent contractor?
I would have to go through an independent insurance company or something.
Yeah,
I've never had anything, you know, offered to me or anything like that. And it's probably just as well, being that, you know, that I get paid on a percentage. You got to figure what you get paid, that comes out of that percentage to cover your insurance costs.
Yes, yeah.
So by me going on percentage, that I make out better that way. You know, what I was going to have spent on insurance, you know, I just put in my pocket. So.
So, but that's something good to know if you got drivers or thinking about becoming owner-operators. Hey, the 401k, the medical, dental, you know, all the benefits, it's on them as an owner-operator to provide.
Right.
Because in a sense, you're your own company.
Exactly.
And you're just subcontracting through Continental, so to speak.
Exactly. And that's another thing. You can stay just a regular driver, but as far as me being an owner-operator, I thought it'd be best to be as LLC And I've heard other guys say that before. You know, you just limit your liability and things.
Yeah.
And that way, it's just a liability thing that in the event of an accident, you know, you don't get, you know, everything taken away from you.
You're not going to get sued for $10 million.
Right.
You got a limited liability. Because you don't own 50 trucks and hire on 49 drivers. You've got one truck and it's... You know that's your thing,
right? And that's another thing, the insurance on the truck comes out of your own pocket too.
So another thing that I've noticed over the years is, like, a lot of our company trucks, after so many miles, you know, you get a new truck, it's new, you might have a little thing here, little thing there the first year or so, but after a couple years, there's something else here. There's a glitch here. By the time you've had it for 4 or 5 years, they're starting to wear out.
Yeah.
And you go from the first few years having almost zero maintenance to all of a sudden you can't keep the thing out of the shop. How do you handle that as far as an owner operator? I'm not asking for your personal finances or anything, but is that something where you, like, do you mentally think, okay, hey, let me take X amount and put it aside for maintenance fees? Or
not really. No, I operate out of just one bank account. I really don't, you know, budget for that. I just deal with it as it comes along, and most of it I deal with myself. You know, if there's something wrong with the truck, a lot of times I'll take it home and work on it, you know, myself out in the driveway.
so you do a lot of your own maintenance.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
Have you had Continental or the shop here do maintenance, and how is that handled?
Oh yeah, I've had them work on it. Putting on, like, coolant lines, steel coolant lines. I had Brian work on it once, and, you know, I do a lot of, you know, as far as, like, the oil changes, I'll do them myself here.
Okay.
You know, I asked Doug if I can do it, and he's fine with it. Just bring the truck in, just change the oil and filters.
But if you have them actually perform maintenance here, do they charge you so much for the part? Is so much for an hour labor?
That's the thing. They don't have parts here for it. Being that
A Mac. Because it's a Mac. True.
Yeah.
That's true.
Just very limited things they can do to that truck here.
True.
If I bring the parts to them, they if they have the time. You know, that's the thing. This company is just so many trucks coming through the shop all the time that it's hard to catch them on an off day to where they got time to do it. Usually they're just so slammed out there that, you know.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, if somebody's considering owner operating,
right,
you know, how the shop works with that.
You still got to pay for, like, the hourly wage, you know, the hourly rate that Doug charges out here. And I don't even know what he's charging now, but it's a lot less than what they're charging at a dealership.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I have no idea what it is either, but I imagine it'd be a lot cheaper.
Right.
And then the parts are just what the parts are. They cost what they cost.
It's definitely not cheap. And so, you definitely don't want to get parts off of Amazon.
Yeah. Do you have a trailer as well, or you just have the truck?
Just the truck.
Okay. Are you ever thinking that you might want to buy your own trailer at any point?
No desire to ever buy a trailer. What I see these trailers go through.
They go through
a lot.
And it doesn't take long for them to go through it either.
The forklift driver's going in there and putting gashes in the walls and everything like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, nah, I think I'll just let them deal with the trailer expense. So that's one thing. I don't have to worry about anything with the trailer at all. So that's a good thing.
All right. So, I mean, as far as, like, a normal run for you, is it pretty much the same? You get somewhere, you get a load, you get your bill of lading, you get to the other end, they sign it, and you're still turning paperwork in. Paperwork wise, it's pretty much normal.
It's just the same as it always has. The same as it always been.
And then at the end of the year, you've got a, what kind of things do you have to keep track of for, like, tax, like you said, your sister
taxes.
Like, your sister does your taxes. So how do you set that up?
Okay, now with the taxes, if you want stuff to be wrote off in your taxes, keep track of all your expenses, fuel, if it's related to the truck, like stationery pens. If you buy a computer, if you buy a printer, if you buy printer paper, that's, you know, that's dealing with trucking, yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. Write it off. You got to turn your receipts in. You know, just keep all your receipts. I don't have to turn in your receipts or anything like that to my sister. I just got to keep track of what I spent throughout the year.
Yeah.
Give her the totals, yeah, and everything like that. And she just puts in all the numbers and all right, that's it.
Okay.
So,
and then, so now, did you make payments on your truck, or did you just, you paid it off?
I bought it on, you know, just.
Just boom. Okay. Yeah. What do you think about it? Do you think, you know, for somebody that's, you know, not everybody's got a big chunk of money to go buy a truck.
Right.
What do you think? You think it's better to do a lease program? Do you think it's better to make payments on a truck through a dealership? Or do you think if they're considering this transition, they do like you did, they just run with the company and save their money, and once they've got, you know, okay, I got this, let me go buy a truck.
Right. Well, I mean, I would strongly recommend doing it that way, you know, just the way I did it, just save the money up and just have that payment paid off. You won't have to worry about it, because this business is so cyclical. I mean, it goes up and down, and you know, you get busy and then all at once you get slow, and then, you know, if you got that big truck payment and you got a house payment, you got all kinds of bills at home to deal with.
And kids.
And kids, all the other stuff. It's not going to be very good, you know. It makes for a really hard way of going at it.
Yeah, it's just, it's almost like, it sounds like it'd almost just be like another house payment on top of
it
a house
is.
Payment.
It really is. It's like buying a house. Yeah. It's exactly what it is.
Wow.
So
if you've got the means to be able to get by and build a nest egg up, in your opinion, you know, drive company wide for however long and just save up.
Yep.
And then just try to just do it.
Yeah.
So, okay. I have talked to several people over the years that did those lease programs through some companies, and I've never felt comfortable with that scenario. I've always felt like they were scams. I've talked to several people that went into that thing, and it did not end well for them.
Yeah, I don't know all the ins and outs of lease, but I mean, I don't know if there's like any kind of a balloon payment at the end of a lease that you got to deal with, or to break away from this thing. I mean, if you can just walk away from it, a clean break, and not have to think about it, go from one truck to another truck, I guess it'd be an okay thing.
Yeah, I've heard so many horror stories. I've never heard a good story where somebody went into that and actually came out the other end and, hey, I own my truck, woohoo. It's never happened. So I've always steered clear of that.
Yeah.
I've come into the industry. I've been offered that stuff from other companies. I've had them call and say, hey, when do you want to own your own truck? And I've never had the desire to own the truck. I'm like, I don't have a problem driving it. I love driving for Continental, but I'd rather just be a company driver. At what point did you get to that? I mean, did you always want to be an owner operator, or was there just at some point where you just went, man, I really would rather, and you just transitioned?
I sat on the fence long enough to where it got to the point where it's just like, you know, let's just try it. Let's just do it. Yeah, just jump into it and let's do it.
Let's see.
Because, you know, I don't want to look back years from now. It's like, oh, I just should have done it.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm 70 years old, I'm ready to retire, and man, I could have bought a truck 30 years ago. I wish I would have.
Exactly. Yeah. And I kick around all kinds of ideas. Even if, you know, just like, say, Landstar or something like that. You know, I just get on YouTube and I'll watch somebody, you know, works for Landstar, and I look at that and it's just like, I don't think I want to do that. Pick and choose my own loads, because why do that? You know, I just rather let somebody else just, you know, book the loads here and stuff like that. You know, I get taken care of pretty good here. So
they're really good people. I've heard a lot of owner operators are struggling right now with the freight shortage and cheap freight, but you being leased on the Continental as an owner operator, you're still doing very well, and you're not slowing down at all.
I have no problem letting them, you know, just handle it.
So as far as your experience, rather than going out on your own and trying to find a broker and trying to find loads,
exactly,
get with a good company that you can trust and rely on, and let them feed you the loads.
I have no complaints whatsoever. I've been doing real good here. So, even as a company driver, I've just always had a real good relationship with Continental.
Okay. Now let me ask you this. Since you've been an owner-operator, have you taken vacation?
I take vacation when I want to. That's the one thing that took a little bit to get my mind around, that concept of just being able to just whenever I want to. It's like, okay.
Of course, whatever you can afford to, I guess. Right. Yeah, but that's why I was worried. It's like, that's what I've always thought. Man, I get it. If I bought a truck and then had that payment, because I wouldn't have the money to be able to just buy a truck. But then they say, well, you can go on vacation or take days off, whatever you want. I'm like, yeah, but when would I be able to afford it? You're saying you're able to, able to be done on Thursday, go out on Saturday or Sunday, and you're still going on vacation. So you're doing, so this has been a really good experience.
It really has. It's, well, other than, maintenance things that happens with the truck, it's just, that's a whole other story there too.
You're gonna have. I mean, that's you've got running parts. You got maintenance.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
It'll about make you cry sometimes when you get on a
truck. I've seen been at truck stops and stuff, and I've seen some of these guys' bills for what they did, or some they advertise, hey, get DOT ready here, and I see some of the prices they charge just to do basic.
Right.
Like, just.
And that's the thing, you go to the truck stops, they're oriented to sell you a job.
Yes.
Something isn't right. All them tires are looking a little on the thin side. You might need to, brakes are looking a little thin too, Whereas here, DOT, Doug, the shop will do the DOT inspection here for you.
So if you got
that's a requirement for leasing on here. The truck has to pass DOT inspection through here.
So they're not going to gouge you for anything like it. It's very beneficial to stay with a solid company, even as an owner operator, rather than trying to run independent and trying to do it all on your own.
I have no problem with it, staying right here as an owner operator, because I've kicked the ideas around with other things and stuff like that, going out and getting my own authority, and it's just like, why even bother? I don't want to mess with that kind of stuff. So, if you get some far away place and then the rates aren't that good out there, or load cancels or something, there you're stuck trying
trying to find out where I go from here. Now, let me ask you this, as an owner operator, so you get DOT'd. I'm assuming the paperwork and everything is pretty much the same as what we got to show them. But you get a violation. Does Continental or does a company help you with that?
No.
Or I mean, as far as you turn the paperwork in and say, hey, I got DOT'd, is that 100% on you to just handle?
Well, still got to turn that in for the CSA scores, because I operate under their authority.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that's the way it goes. Any kind of violations and things like that still has to go back to them. But as far as like any kind of out of service for mechanical and stuff like that, I gotta make a phone call and call somebody out there to fix my truck and stuff like that, and pay the bill.
But as far as like any like tickets, violations, or anything, you just cover that. You just gotta let Continental know.
Sure, because it's still you're still under their authority, and it still goes under their CSA and everything. I'm assuming that's how it all works.
I
would think so too.
Okay. So how much now you own your own truck, and you started doing this, you say, at beginning of
2022, yes.
So how long do you see yourself driving for? I mean, hypothetically, how long would you like to see yourself going?
Oh, me and my fiance, we kick around ideas about retiring like 5 to 10 years, something like that. So early retirement, maybe at 60.
Right. So you don't have any plans to say buy another truck? Like if this one gets so old, the miles get way up there.
Oh, I'm all the time looking at other trucks. Okay.
But okay, so Yeah, how does that go? Is it just like trading? Is it just like taking your car into a dealership and going, "Hey, give me so much for this, and I'll buy this"? That's how that works.
Pretty much, yeah. You just walk in there, and it's like just like the car dealership. We'll give you this much for it, and this is how much. You know, this one hair collage. You know, you do a little bit of talking, and try to haggle and stuff like that. But you know, this truck I got here is pretty good, solid truck, and you know, I'm pretty happy with it. And it's one of those things that, you know, we talk about in the truck all the time. As far as, you know, I already got everything already taken care of with this truck as far as maintenance wise, as much, you know, as foreseeable, you know,
as you can handle,
as I can handle. And it don't look like anything's going to major happen for, you know, quite some time. It's got a lot of life left in it, so.
Okay, let's hope it doesn't. But
right.
But like you said, if something does happen, as an owner-operator, you're kind of left to your own devices as far as, hey, I need to get a wrecker out here. Hey, where do I get this thing towed to get it fixed?
Right.
How much is that going to cost?
Right.
And then, of course, while you're broke down, getting towed and waiting to get fixed, you're also not running loads.
Right.
So it kind of hits you at both ends of the pocket.
It does.
How do you overcome that hurdle? I mean, you could have
a lot of money in the bank.
So you just want to make sure you build up enough capital to kind of go, okay.
Yeah, you definitely got to have money in the bank to operate out here. You can't operate by the seat of your pants and expect to make it, because it's just, at any given time, the truck can break down. And then, like you said, you just got to get towed. And as soon as you get towed, you got to pay that bill.
Yeah, they want the money right there.
Right,
And then, of course, getting it fixed. We're not giving you your truck back till you pay the bill.
Right.
So just for the guys out there that may be considering something like this, in your opinion, how much do you think they should have set aside over and above the normal everyday expenses of the truck? Like, what kind of a nest egg, or let's say emergency fund?
Emergency, well, let's just put it this way. An overhaul, rebuilding an engine and everything like that can upwards of 20 to 30 grand, you know, with labor and all that stuff.
But that's kind of thinking you're going to have to overhaul an engine when you buy a truck. So realistically, starting out, how much do you think they should put aside for emergencies?
I would say it depends on how far you got to have the truck towed, but I would say a good 5 to 10 grand, just set off to the side, just to make sure, make sure, because you're going to have slow weeks. As far as liability with accidents, you got to deal with your own truck for the accidents and everything like that. Obviously, that's one of the cons. A lot of these things we kind of touched on already here. The use of the camera. I got a camera in the truck. That was an option. The company provided the camera. I put it in there for me, so they have a link to the camera. Which is good. It can also be a bad thing though.
In my experience, in my opinion, I think the camera was a good move.
It was.
It's scary that you gotta worry that somebody might be, what are they watching? But at the same time, it's kind of like, when those really weird, goofy things happen, I'm glad I got a camera so they don't think I'm making up a goofy story.
Your word against theirs.
Yeah, it protects you so much.
Right.
Go over some of your pros and cons some of the things if we haven't touched on, because I'm curious.
The percentage, it's definitely a big plus here. I wouldn't want to be a mileage rate. There's some companies that pay miles loaded or empty. Even as owner operators, and you really don't want the deadhead. So, but on a percentage basis, you make out a lot better. I seem to think so, because whatever they make, you get percentage of what they charge. So if they get higher rates, then obviously I get a bit,
a higher percentage. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But with the inflation and everything like that, I don't think it's really quite kept up with the inflation. Fuel surcharge. The fuel surcharge goes up and down with the fuel prices, but I think it's kind of a tight market out there right now, and it seems like trying to get the rates up there is a little bit of a challenge for them.
And you got to kind of look at it. They've said that the rate of inflation over the last year and a half or so has outpaced everything by so much more than they expected.
Right.
So nobody expected this to go for as long as it's going, and, right, and as drastic, which is probably why. So I would assume at some point it's going to even out, or, you know, it's going to get...
Yeah.
You know, it's you're not going to be chasing that all the time. I think at some point it's going to plateau.
Yeah. It just how it is.
What's some of the pros as far as
As far as you get to pick your own truck. Yeah. Whatever truck you want, if you can swing the payments, that can be your truck. You know, they have no issues about whatever truck, you want to buy. It's whatever,
whatever
brand you want.
Make, model, okay.
Yeah, the only real requirement they have is 5 years or newer. You know, they don't want anything from the time you lease on, 5 years or newer. Now, after that, I mean, all bets are off. You can just let the, keep the truck for however long you want to keep it.
Okay.
So
you get to pick your own truck. You get to go on vacation whenever you want.
Right.
Or you can set your week. Hey, I'm going to be home Thursdays and leave on Saturdays.
Right.
Or,
is another thing.
And I need next Tuesday off. Oh, well. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't have to get too far in advance. But, yeah, you give them like a week or so in advance to let them know, hey, I need to be in such and such and stuff like that. And, hey, all right.
So you've got a lot more freedom of choice.
You do.
Here and there. But then you've also got a lot more overhead to worry about.
Right.
And you got to balance that.
Right.
You gotta make sure, I can take vacation whenever you want, but you want to make sure you can afford it too.
Right. So, exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay. Do you have any closing thoughts? Of, like, let's say these guys out here, somebody's watching this right now and thinking, man, I've been a company driver for 5-10 years. I'm thinking about buying a truck. What would you say to them right now?
What you want to do, and if you want to buy your own truck, is set yourself up as an LLC, obviously, to limit your liability.
Yeah, kind of protect yourself.
All the vendors that you deal with for buying parts, the dealerships and whatever else, go in there and set up like either a cash account, whatever account you want, but get tax exempt papers filled out to where you don't have to pay sales tax.
Nice. Okay.
So
I did not know that was an option.
Right. Yeah. You have to fill out the proper paperwork, but yeah, you don't have to pay any sales tax if you do that.
Oh.
So
I'd be filling out some paperwork.
That's right. Yeah.
I didn't
everywhere
know
that you buy stuff for the truck, I mean, Amazon, you can do a business account on Amazon if you want, but I very rarely ever buy anything off of Amazon for anything truck related.
Yeah.
So, I bought some parts for the truck that kind of came back and burned me, in the end for it. I ended up having to have the truck towed because it wasn't the right parts. They were cheap knockoff parts, and it's just...
You order stuff off the internet, you don't really know what's showing up till the box gets there. And,
exactly. And you think it's the same, it's the same part. No, it's not the same part. Yeah. It looks like it, but it's not.
And I would, in my opinion, and I just speculated because I'm not an owner operator, but that would probably be my biggest con about being an owner operator, of what's always probably scared me the most of it is just the maintenance costs, the upkeep. And I've seen how often these trucks can break down and how often they need attention. And
in your own experience, which is what they have to deal with,
I'm going, there's been times where I've had my truck in the shop 2-3 times a week.
Yeah.
And I'm going, oof.
Yeah.
So, I mean, That would be my final thing, is that would be something.
Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart. That's
yeah,
for sure.
You really want to make sure if you're going to do this, you talk to a lot of owner operators, talk to some people,
right,
and get your ducks in a row.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I just learned from the owner operators that's worked here. I just learned from their mistakes, what they did wrong, and what not to do, and what to, what they do right, stuff like that.
Yeah. And you said, like, you went through Doug and talked to Doug. Was he instrumental in helping you out through the process?
Or? Oh, he gave me a little bit of advice as far as, like, buying a truck. You know, buy something that's fairly new that has a warranty on it and things like that. But I never took it. I just bought a truck as is. I just bought it as is. And they offered me extended warranty for X amount of dollars. And I thought about it and thought about it. I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'll roll the dice
and hope it works.
Hope it works. Yeah. Stuff like that. Because there's always catches to every little thing. Extended warranty. Oh, we told you it was for this and that and the other, but you know, we don't cover this and we don't cover that.
Yeah, that's only covered if the wheels are square. Your wheels are round. Right. Didn't you read the fine print? Yeah.
Every little thing, you know. So I never sign on with those extended warranties for anything.
Well, most of the time they say with those extended warranties and the extended warranties, if you take that money and put it off the side and invest it, or that you've got, and you've got the capital, like you said, the emergency fund to maintain
and deal with it,
you're
going to
be
happens.
Further ahead down the road than if you bought that warranty and only used it didn't use it at all, or only use it once.
Right. If you don't use it at all, then what?
You just gave them free money, which is what that's really
it
based
really is.
On,
it's,
so.
It really is.
But I have also heard of people getting bit in the rear because they didn't get a warranty, so it's a two-way street. So
exactly, that's the thing. You know, you go to buy a truck, you want to really know what you're looking for and what to watch out for.
Yeah, so, very good.
Take a good look at it.
So, any final closing thoughts, and then we'll wrap this up.
Well, all I can say is that it's a good company to work for, as far as owner operator, and I got, you know, just make sure you have a good relationship with them. And that's pretty much it.
Okay, good. So, yeah, I think that's solid advice. I think you going from a company driver to an owner operator, a good bit of that transition and success is because you've got the backing of the company.
Right.
I think that's very important for people to know. Like you said, that would run under their own authority.
Right.
It's a lot different of a ball game at that point. So, well, thank you, Dan. Thanks for your time. And again, I'm Dave. This is Dan Klayman, owner-operator and long-term driver here at Continental Express. Thanks for joining us.